Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959.
Time for us to get into one of the most important stories of the day that really does set a precedent in terms of how African economies are able to continue to function despite the financial support that we often seek from our international counterparts. Or from what we understand, IMF member countries start receiving their share of the new 650 billion rand special drawing rights allocation. What we understand, according to the Financial Times, is that this is one of the largest of the fund drawing rights that has been allocated. To help us understand what impact this does have, not only on African economies, but on a market like South Africa as well, we are joined on the line by Danny Bradlow, who is a professor of international development law and African economic relations for Saatchi professor there. He is from the University of Pretoria. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Professor Danny Bradlow. A great pleasure to have you with us this evening.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me. Good evening to the listeners.
Indeed. We're quite excited to hear about the story, but also doing so cautiously, as we do understand there's a lot of technicalities that might be involved. But I guess assist us by understanding what a special drawings rights is and how this actually has come into effect.
So the special drawing rights are technically they're a reserve asset created by the IMF. Just by declaration almost, by vote of the membership in the IMF. And what that means is the membership decided that the IMF should issue to all the members special drawing rights up to $650 billion and equivalent. And it's issued according to the quotas that each member country has in the IMF. So it's not shared equally, it's just shared proportionately. And the special drawing rights go from the IMF into the reserves of the country. So on the 23rd of August, when the SDRs were issued by the IMF, South Africa's reserves increased instantaneously, more or less, from about $50 billion to $54 billion.
Help us understand that. Is that a direct transfer of money that actually goes into, I guess, this kitty that is in South Africa?
Right. So, it's an electronic blip, basically, that has just shown up on the screen that now we have $4 billion worth of SDRs in our reserves. And South Africa can then do whatever it wants with the reserves, with the SDRs, which means it could pay back debts to the IMF, or it could convert them into dollars and use them to buy vaccines, or whatever other purpose it decided it wanted to do with that. It's like having extra dollars in the reserves, except you can't use SDRs for any purpose that you want. There are restrictions on how they can be used, only in the sense that they're only, besides the member countries, there are 15 institutions in the world that can use, that can receive and hold the SDRs. So South Africa could use the SDRs to pay the IMF, or it could pay what it owes to the World Bank or the African Development Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as I said, it can convert it into another currency and use it. So it's a free resource, in a sense, from the IMF that every country in the world has now received. And, you know, that's the upside of it.
Professor Bradlow, before we get into some of the other concerns, I can imagine for some of our listeners who might be paying attention, they might think this sounds like fantastic news, but we also know there's no such thing as a free lunch. So what are the terms and conditions that might be associated with this kind of SDR?
There are no terms. It's not like normally when you get money from the IMF, there are policy conditions attached to that. Mm-hmm. And that's the controversial aspect of it. This is different in the sense that there are no policy conditions attached to it. There's an interest charge charged on it when you use it. At the moment, that interest charge is 5 basis points, so less than 0.1% of interest. So it's very low interest that you have to pay to the IMF for the use of that. And as I said, there's restricted uses. So you can only use it directly to pay in a transaction with the prescribed holders, these 15 institutions, or another country. Or you can convert it into dollars or euros or whatever currency South Africa decides it needs, and then you can use that freely. So in that sense, it is what it sounds like, free money. The problem is that most of the 650 billion goes to the richest countries because they have the biggest quotas in the IMF. So even though, for example, sub-Saharan Africa is receiving about 23 billion, that's a small portion of what sub-Saharan Africa actually needs in order to deal with the pandemic, let alone the climate crisis and things like that. So everybody recognizes that this distribution is inefficient and unfair. And so there's an effort, at least at a discussion level at the moment, and an agreement in principle that there should be some reallocation. At the moment, the numbers talked about $100 billion worth of the SDRs would be reallocated by the rich countries to be used by poorer countries.
And I guess that would assist us with our developmental needs. Would it bring about any kind of, concerns about how this capital will be allocated and how it actually does translate into a benefit for developing economies to do exactly that, channel it into their development?
Right. So that's the big question, because how is it going to be done and what mechanisms are there for doing that? So, I mean, one thing is a rich country could say to a poor country, we'll give you our share of SDRs just on a bilateral basis, is one possibility. But people want to, makes more sense to do it in a multilateral, coordinated way. And there are a few ways that could be done. And there's three options, I guess, that are on the table, at least sort of at a broad discussion level. One is that the IMF has a trust fund called the Poverty Reduction and Growth Trust that it has used historically to give money to low-income countries. And with condition, and there the conditions would come in. So, for example, the UK would give some of its SDRs to this trust, and then the trust, controlled by IMF, would decide that money going, for example, to Lesotho. But when it makes it in the form of a loan to Lesotho, it attaches policy conditions. And historically, those policy conditions have been highly problematic because they're the austerity policies. So cut your budget deficit, increase taxes, cut spending on various things. So those conditions would be attached to the use of the PRs. The funding through that mechanism.
Makes sense. Certainly, do finish your point, because I do want us to get to the consumer impact and what it does mean for citizens where there is perhaps some kind of impact that might translate there.
So that's the one problem. And the other problem with that mechanism is it only goes to low-income countries. But most of the poor people in the world actually live in middle-income countries, and a lot of the countries that need the money are middle-income countries. And that's a problem if you use that mechanism. All the other mechanisms would require creating something new. And that, you know, to get agreement in the world to create something new is a very, I mean, it's possible, but it's not easy and it's slow. And as you were suggesting, we need the money to move very quickly. And so it's a much harder and less predictable thing to create a new mechanism to do this. So in a sense, what we really need is to reform the IMF and the Poverty Reduction and Growth Trust to make them more inclusive, more participatory and more accountable.
Indeed. And I'm assuming very briefly for South Africans who want to find out what South Africa and National Treasury actually do with this additional funding, where do we source that kind of information?
That's a very good question. So the money's in the Reserve Bank as part of the reserve, and there's been no statement that I've seen where the government has said what it plans to do with that money. So it would be good for South Africans who are concerned to ask either the Reserve Bank or the Treasury what they plan to do with that money, and to say we would like to see and understand how it's going to be used and how it's going to be used to deal, say, with the COVID crisis.
Definitely.
Or to deal with, you know, climate or poverty or whatever.
Professor Bradlow, you've just added an item to our to-do list, so we'll be sure to follow up on that one to get some clarity from a South African perspective. Thank you so much for guiding us and helping us understand this new IMF-distributed $650 billion in emergency reserve funds, and much of that capital, as you say, being channeled to the IMF member states, but in a proportionate state, which might not necessarily be what it is that the global economy needs, because developing economies need more funding in order to channel that into their growth and development versus our more established counterparts who probably have deep coffers already. A big thank you for your time this evening, sir. We're really appreciative of the insight and knowledge you've imparted with us today. That's Professor Danny Bradlow, Saatchi Professor of International Development Law and African Economic Relations at the University of Pretoria.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.